Welcome to Impact Africa with Tope Fajanbasi. Africa has long been associated with needing aid and handouts. Today, you'll learn so much more about this wonderful continent from enlightening stories, people, and ideas. Now, here is your host, Tope Fajanbasi.
Good evening and a very warm welcome to everybody who's listening. I'm sorry that we're starting a little bit late. We had a little technical issue, but that's been resolved. Welcome to Impact Africa, the place where Africa gets really inspired. And I'm sure you agree with me today, after you listen to my guest on the show, that this is really where Africa gets inspired. Today we're going to be talking about the issue of women and the power of women in terms of driving the African economy forward. They always say beside every successful man, or some people say behind, there is a woman. But I think that it's more like in every successful economy, there are so many women driving important business ventures. How can Africa catch up with the rest of the world? If you look at the U.S. statistics, there are, you know, so many women-owned businesses here. There are about $1.3 trillion in terms of revenue that women bring to the U.S. economy every year. But this is not the case for Africa. How can we better, you know, make our women contribute what they should be contributing to the show? And to discuss that with me in this first half of the show is a very, very important guest that I'm very happy and excited to have her on the show. Her name is Mary Olusoga, and she's the founder of AWPnetwork.com. Mary has got all those accolades you can, you know, hear about. When you hear her voice, you probably will realize you've heard her on BBC, you've seen her, you know, on BET, on Black Enterprise, everywhere, all the good places. I'm telling you, she's like the real deal. Mary, welcome to Impact Africa.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be here. And I look forward to discussing about, the power of women in Africa.
And I think you're the best person to really to do this discussion. Let me ask you, when you look at the U.S. statistics, first of all, about $1.3 trillion from women-owned businesses every year. Mm-hmm. I don't have the figure for Africa, but Definitely it's not $1.3 trillion. What is holding African women back from driving businesses?
I think, and I'm going to try to be as authentic as possible. I think African women are holding themselves back. I believe much in the power of believing in yourself, in order to be able to achieve certain goals. But in addition to self, I also think that there are certain cultural hindrances that sort of, deny African women from achieving certain things. And there are a few women who have done so well, Moa Boudou, I can mention lots of names, but I also think that, a lot of women are holding themselves back, and I also think that there are some policies in place that sort of hinder women from moving forward and achieving things that they're supposed to achieve, whether it's policies, whether it's doors that are closed, whether it's cultural stereotypes, whatever it is. But I think, those things are in place, and which is one of the reasons why I started the AWP Network, to really help women, first of all, believe in themselves and believe in their possibilities, to create a network of women who are doing very well and allow them to, support other women and mentor them and reach out and sort of connect with their stories. And hopefully that sort of creates this sort of spiral, initiative that will allow more women, younger women, adult women, when they hear the stories of impossibilities turned into possibilities, that they can, first of all, start by believing in themselves and then moving forward to achieving goals, starting businesses, and being able to add to their local community by creating jobs, by, creating income for their family, and being that sort of voice at the table. And I think that is necessary.
You know what? I'm actually, you cannot see me, but I'm actually nodding and agree with you. But, because one of the things that I really agree with you, and I'm taking notes here, is the issue of culture. I remember that I had an issue with an agency in Nigeria, and which you probably saw me complain about on Facebook. Yeah. And I approached one of the directors in this particular agency in Nigeria, and I said, you know, this is my grouse. I'm going to take you guys to court if you don't resolve this issue. And you know, after I ranted and raved, you know what he said to me? He said, you know, you're not married. I think you need a husband. Oh, you, wow. Even if you don't want a husband, I think you can have a boyfriend. I can take care of you. I'm telling you, this whole discussion went from something really serious to something really ridiculous. And I think that it's a cultural deficit, let's put it, you know, that way, of men and also women who don't take women seriously.
Yes.
You know, they don't think that you have a right to pursue something really important. And they just trivialize the issue to, you know, let me take care of you. And it's a mess. But, you know, you also mentioned the fact that one of the reasons why you're doing AWP Network is to let women see other women who are succeeding in terms of, you know, challenges. Are there some stories that have really, you know, inspired you that you might want to share with some of my listeners?
Wow, there are so many stories, there are countless stories. So, for example, I'll talk about something that I did this year. First of all, AWP, we went live January 2012, and in such a short period of time, we have accomplished so much. And every day I'm constantly proud that we're able to support people, and that we're able to, you know, fill a niche. And every day we're constantly redefining ourselves and redefining our strategy and how we're going to execute that. So early this year, we did something called the photo contest, and I'm not sure if you've read about it, but the photo contest, basically, I wanted to see if young Africans understood what entrepreneurship means. So one of the things I did was I said, look, take a picture that you think describes or defines entrepreneurship, what it means to you. It could be of an entrepreneur you admire. It could be of something that, you know, you see every day on your way to work or, you know, whatever. But tell us through pictures what entrepreneurship means to you. And we put that out there, and the stories were coming in. I mean, there's one story of a particular young woman who had finished college, university in Nigeria, and there was no job, you know, and I think new statistics just came out of unemployment ratios in Nigeria, and it's very scary. I think 55% among the youth who are unemployed, about 55% are women.
Wow.
And that's really high, and that's really scary. And you have to think, you know, how are these young women supporting each other? And then you begin to connect unemployment to different types of crimes, you know, whether it's prostitution or whatever it is. But, you know, here's the story of a young woman who was unemployed for years. And then if you go on my website, awp.com, you'll be able to read the different stories. And she started a makeup business. She started, I think, Tara Durotoye. You know, she started selling one of her products. And, you know, she went from unemployed for years of not having no money, feeling helpless. What is my worth? I just finished college. What am I going to do? To being an active entrepreneur. And she tells her story through pictures and how she's able to change lives, you know, through makeup. You know, people come in not feeling, you know, very pretty, and she puts makeup on them and they're great, you know, on their wedding day. And the transformation, you know, here's a girl who went from feeling worthless as a result of being an unemployed to, you know, doing makeup for people, making them feel good, other women on their wedding day, on their birthdays, and getting paid for what she's doing and able to transform her life. And one of the things that I love that she said in the story, and once again, everything's online, awpnetwork.com. She said, as a makeup artist, my business may not solve a world problem, but if I am able to support my family financially and in times of need, I think that's a big step. I mean, wow. Those are the kind of stories we hear about of African women who are moving forward, who are doing different things, and who are taking the initiative by starting on, you know, entrepreneurship. And there are times, yes, you know, that you have to push some people because it all starts with the mind. Yeah, it starts with you. I believe everything starts with you. You know, you have to be well, you have to be, you know, ready, you have to be prepared, but, you know, but I think, you know, some people might need the push, but then there are other people who are taking that initiative. And then in her story, she says, entrepreneurship to me means freedom, you know. Wow. And there are many stories like that. They're very powerful of young people whose stories we don't get to hear about every day. Because oftentimes, you know, we hear stories. I know I was on Twitter, and they said, if the Western media is not talking about the poverty of Africa, the poor side of Africa, they're talking about the extreme wealth. That where will there be an in-between? Yeah, you know, you have the Tatla, the UK magazine that sort of featured very wealthy, the children of very wealthy Africans. And, you know, it's two extremes. And those extremes are dangerous because if you focus on the extreme wealth that everyone's trying to avoid, oh, Africa is not poor, Africa is not poor, the reality is there's still that poor person who needs a push, who needs help, who needs support, you know. And then if you focus so much on the poverty story, you know, it becomes, you know, oh, Africa is poor, Africa is poor, Africa is poor. But there needs to be that balance. And I think entrepreneurship, the connection with young people may help tell a different story about Africa.
You know what? And I have to definitely agree with you because I'm thinking right now about that story. When I read the story of the rich Africans in the UK, and I was like, this is not even 1% of Nigeria. And the reality of the issue is that there are people, like you said, who are graduating from school who are not getting jobs, and the schools themselves are not even good. So many people who are even graduating don't even have the business skills to even, you know, make any progress. And you know, but one thing that I also that came to my mind as you were talking is the story of, you know, my friends and I have a non-profit organization in Nigeria called United for Kids Foundation, and the story of a girl, which I also put on my Facebook page this week. This girl Esther, she's 15 years old, and she's from Benue State, somewhere in the Middle Belt in Nigeria, and she's in Lagos being a housemaid to a family. You know, this is regular practice. But the thing that I, you know, saw with her case is that she came to school. We have a library in her school, and she's feeling comfortable, confident that these people are going to be there for me. She decides to tell her teachers and our staff that her boss, who, you know, she called the uncle, is trying to sexually molest her. And he has told her that this night something is going to happen, so she should buy some things when she's coming home. And, you know, immediately we heard this, we were like, no, we're going to take a step, call the Ministry of Social Welfare and get this thing resolved. One of the teachers said something that completely knocked me out silly. He said, you know, why are you all making noise? This man hasn't done anything yet.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. And this is what I see, you know, with the issue with women. And why I think something like AWP Network is very important. Because if a woman is having this kind of issue, and she's and the kind of people that she has to rely on are people like this man who are saying, the uncle hasn't committed a crime yet, so why are you making noise? What happens to those, you know, women? We need this kind of support systems. We need this kind of stories. But how do you... some of these women are not on the internet. So how do they hear the stories? How do they reach you? Or how do you reach them?
Yeah, well, we are very proactive with what we do. We are opening our first, because for so long we'd been basically online, e-commerce, global, you know, using technologies. You know, I'm a huge technology advocate, you know. But what we're doing now is that we're going now into the grassroots. So AWP will have its first office in Lagos and will be located at the CC Hub. And yes, so we do have an expansion strategy, and we're very excited about that. And we're, our goal too is to develop small business entrepreneurial programs in different languages so as to attract different types of people and encourage them. You know, in Nigeria, for example, whenever people go to like this religious conferences, you know, whether it's, you know, Olugos, they always have an interpreter. And the reason why interpreters are important is because they're very inclusive. And I think that whenever we have a small business project, we should be inclusive in terms of language, because it will include and engage different types of people in different locations at different places in their lives. And not everybody, you know, Nigeria also has a very high illiteracy, you know, level. A lot of people don't go to school. So it would attract those type of people and engage them and at least inform them of what we're doing. So we do have an expansion strategy that we are working on, and we're certainly going to be able to, you know, go in live and be on ground in 2014.
Wow. And, you know, I think that as somebody who goes to Nigeria a lot, I try to go like once every quarter. I think that to be there is really just, you know, the best thing that you could do right now. And I'm thinking about this. When people, how will people then know that you've come? Are you planning a live event, you know, to announce your arrival or to get people to even know and touch and feel, you know, who you are?
Yeah. Well, you know, every time I interview a Lagos techpreneur, especially the men, I always notice they're so very like private. They always say, you know, I'm only doing this interview because of you, because I don't want to make people feel like I've arrived. So I'm going to say the same thing too. I don't want to make people feel that I've arrived, but we have an expansion strategy. Our staff, we currently have 2 staff on ground. So we're going to have to grow that with a lot of volunteers. So yes, we do have an event planned in Lagos, but it's going to be, in the Lekki area. And we're already pushing it. We're promoting. We're doing a lot of advertisements. We're working with a lot of partners, Wood Africa, Entrepreneur News. You know, we're out there constantly pushing ourselves. But, you know, our goal is to do more. And I think that we have to be, as much as I'd love to start everywhere, as you know, Nigeria is a very big continent and do so much, I think we have to grow slowly and strategically. So yes, we do have a plan, and, you know, we're putting ourselves out there. We're constantly in the press, you know, which is very exciting. You know, but in terms of, yes, we do have an event, but I'm not sure it's going to include everybody as we'd love to, obviously, because we're in Lagos. But hopefully we can keep, you know, that event going and go to Lagos and go to Ekiti and go to Abuja and go to, you know, Port Harcourt and really go to the, and one thing I want to move around with interpreters, because we want to be inclusive. You don't have to speak English. You don't have to speak perfect English. We want to have interpreters that are able to interpret things that we're saying, things that we're doing into different languages so that we can engage everybody.
And I think that's powerful, because I've never really thought about, you know, using interpreters, because we kind of think, oh, you know,
everybody
understands
English. Everybody understands it, yes. Which is not always true.
True. And, you know, one thing that I actually, as you were talking, I'm thinking about something I read somewhere. I don't even know where I read it this week, about the fact that what if the cure of cancer is trapped in the mind of somebody who didn't go to school. So we can't even reach the person. So, you know, we have to include everybody in this whole entrepreneurial, you know, business that we're talking about. Now, let me ask you one thing. You know, when we think about Africa and, you know, even for us Africans in diaspora, or Africans back home, when we think about Africa, it's all about, oh, the conflict, or right now in Nigeria, the letters they are all writing back and forth. There is just, you know, it's very hard to think about it in another light in terms of, you know, business progress. How can we shift the mindset of people, both men and women, to see, because I'm scared that, you know, you go to Nigeria and half of the plane is full of Chinese Americans, Europeans. And I'm scared that at the rate at which Africa is growing, if we continue to see Africa as a place of conflict and a place of, you know, lack of progress, and this will have seen opportunities, there will be, in 20 years time, Africa will be great, but it will not be owned by us. So it will be another round of slavery all over again. So is it the government that needs to shift the mindset, or is it the people? What can we do, seriously?
You know, you raise a very important point, and I think, you know, when I first started the conversation, one of the things I highlighted is the sort of extremes that exist about Africa, right? If you're not talking about the conflict, if you're not talking about the poverty, you're talking about the extreme wealth, But there are in-betweens of people who are living regular lives and who are doing so much. So we have to be able to identify that. So we can't have two extreme stories. It's not balanced, and it's not a way to have an authentic conversation about Africa. But I see what you're saying, you know, in terms of the increase or the rise in foreigners in Africa and doing a lot of things, the Chinese, the Lebanese, a lot of Indians, you know, different times. And it's a global world that we live in. We live in a very global world. But I also think, you know, and I put it here, it's on an article that I'm writing. And it bothers me because I've done some work with a lot of young people in Africa, especially youth leaders. Mm. And one thing I notice is that we are not working together. Mm. We don't trust each other. Mm. We don't believe in each other's possibilities. So there are two ways, you know, and I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm, once again, like I said, I'm writing on this article. So Nigeria, the culture of Nigerian youth leadership needs to change. Even the culture of leadership everywhere in Africa needs to change. Because, you know, Africa is one of the only places that you have 90-year-old men, 80-year-old men, 70-year-old men still in office, men who have been there for 30, 40 years. You know, so even that culture needs to change. But if I look at people in my generation, our youth leadership, because I've worked with a lot of youth, you know, so-called youth leaders, and I don't think they understand what leadership means. You know, we're competing instead of collaborating. You know, we're trying to pull each other down instead of working together. You know, tribalism still exists. When like certain projects, the men are always forward, ignoring the voices of women. You know, like all these things. And we, you know, I say this, you know, a lot of young people, they want to hold politicians accountable. They're like, oh, yep. you're corrupt. But God forbid you hold them accountable. They will be so angry. Like, how dare you ask me this question? Don't you know I'm a youth leader? You know, so, you know, no, I'm being serious. So the Nigerian youth leadership, and I can only speak for Nigeria because I'm Nigerian and I've worked with Nigerian youth leaders. So I don't know what's going on, you know, outside of Africa. But until there is collaboration, until we see each other's possibilities, until we learn how to work together, learn not to ignore the voices of women, learn accountability and values, until we learn not to exploit the rising number of poverty and illiteracy which exists in Africa, because a lot of youth leaders, they know people are not going to school, they know all these things. The next thing they want to do is organize a forum so they can pitch the group of people to politicians, collect money, and life moves on. That is the cycle of youth leadership in Nigeria. It's about the money. Who am I going to collect money from? And I think I like what, I think he's a journalist based in Nigeria. It really strikes me. It says, Nigeria's potential revolutionaries are too materialistic, aspirational, to resist the lure of co-option for long. Everybody is about the money, constantly. Who is going to buy the bigger house? You know, so we're not thinking in a sort of like Mandela mindset. No. You know, and I know you're going to be giving a tribute to Mandela. We're thinking about me. How am I going to get the bigger car? How am I going to get the awards? How am I going to oppress? You know, we're competing instead of collaborating. And so much. And it bothers me. So until we can learn to work together, then, you know, everybody that comes in will continue to succeed. Because I tell you, the Lebanese work together, the Chinese work together, the Indians work together. I even hear, a friend of mine lives in Abuja, that there are certain places that Nigerians are not allowed to live in their own country. There'll be like estates exclusively for Chinese alone, exclusively for Indians, exclusively for Lebanese.
Wow. Well, which is my
no
point.
Nigerians
see,
allowed.
It's very important that you mention that, because that's my point. Because when I go to Nigeria, I see a Nigeria where in 20 years' time, we're going to be the second-class citizens because we're not proactively, you know, collaborating and, you know, following up with these things. But, you know, I also want to say that, you know, this is one of the reasons why I started this show. To bring the voices of people like you, people like me, people who want a better Nigeria,
and
who are actually working towards it.
You're doing a great job. You're doing it. I hope a lot of people get to listen to this, you know, but you're doing a great job.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I'm hoping that people go to, which is a reminder, please go to impactafricaonline.com to learn more about the show and how you can support the show, because this show is being self-sponsored. And if I'm going to continue it, I need, you know, support of people everywhere in Africa who want, you know, Africans to tell the authentic African stories. I also want to say that, you know, there are potentials in Nigeria, in terms of, you know, we, our foundation, United for Kids Foundation, we have got libraries and schools, and we're seeing these kids who are hungry for knowledge, who are innovative. It's there's just a whole big opportunity, and I'm hoping that AWP Network can reach a lot more people. I really am proud of what you're doing. I read your recent article in Huffington Post, and I liked all the respondents. Bill Kiss has been on the show. I think, you know, you guys are doing a fantastic job, and I really want to thank you so much, you know, for doing this.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And thank you for coming on the show. I hope you will be with us for the Mandela Trivia Quiz.
Yes, I certainly will.
All right, fantastic. Okay, good. Thank you. So that's Mary Olusoga. She is the, you know, energetic and very passionate founder of the AWP Network. Look them up at awpnetwork.com. And please don't go away. We're going to have a very fun and interesting tribute to Nelson Mandela after the break.
Thank you.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're a part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
Impact Africa is brought to you by Tope Fajingbesi's House of Ghania, an organization built to inspire. Publishers of What Color Is Your Money, we produce programs and publications and deliver engaging presentations to a wide variety of audiences to develop people and create stronger communities. We also endorse United for Kids Foundation, an organization committed to healing Nigeria and the world, one child at a time. Find us on Facebook at House of Ghania, Twitter at Ghania TFAJ, and on the web at www.ghania.com.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to Impact Africa. To connect with the program today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Tope, that's T-O-P-E, at ourfinancialcoach.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Impact Africa, and I really, really am excited about this portion of, you know, the show today. Everybody knows that the late Nelson Mandela meant a lot to all Africans, in fact, the whole world, and people have been paying different tributes to him, and I figured that what can the show do but a very fun tribute. So we have some guests on the show who are going to, you know, they're going to contest. I have got 18 questions, and they're going to have 15 seconds at most to answer each question. So the winner of the quiz of the trivia doesn't win anything but bragging rights. So, you know, I have to disclose, though, that Imani from Washington, D.C. is from South Africa. Imani, are you on the show?
I am. Hello.
Okay, hi. So you've got a little edge over the rest, but let's see how much that edge. So Imani's here, and I also have a guest from Atlanta. What's your stage name, since you don't want me to say your real name?
My name is Uzo.
Uzo from Atlanta, and then Mary is also still holding out. Mary from New York is contesting. And do I have Abby? Is Abby here? Is Abby, did she chicken out of this quiz? Okay. All right. I'm going to start right now. So this is the rule. You have got 15 seconds at the most to answer every single question. And I'm going to start from Imani. So okay. You choose one, between 1 and 18. There are 18 questions. Question 1 to 10 is true or false. And question 11 to 18 is fill in the blanks. So,
got it.
Please choose one.
Number 4.
Number 4, okay. So, Mandela enrolled at the University College of Fort Hare for a Bachelor of Arts degree, where he was elected onto the Students' Representative Council. He was suspended from college for joining a protest boycott along with Walter Sisulu. Is that true or false?
I'm going to say true.
False.
Ah, really?
Yes, he was actually suspended for joining a protest boycott for real, but it was with Oliver Tambo.
Ah, yes.
Okay, so next, Mary, you're next.
Yes, okay. I'm ready.
Yes, what number do you want?
I want number 7.
Number 7, lucky number. Oh, my goodness. So, true or false? Mandela's biography is titled Tough Road to Freedom. True or false?
Tough Road? I think it's long Walk to Freedom, so it's false.
Oh, correct. Yay! Okay, Uzo from Atlanta, your turn.
Uh-huh. Give me number 2.
Number 2. Uzo, well, let me just say Uzo is a pharmacist. She's very brilliant, so I think she should get this question. True or false? Is Nelson Mandela's father's name was Henry? He was the key counselor to the Thembu Royal House. True or false?
Nelson Mandela's father's name
was Henry. He was the key counselor to the Thembu Royal House. True or false?
False. I don't know any African person called Henry.
It's true, Uzo.
No, Mandela's father had an English name, Henry.
Yes, okay. It's true.
Okay.
Now back to Imani. What question do you want?
I'll take number 15.
Number 15, good. Isn't Imani a journalist? Imani, you're a journalist, right?
I am.
Okay, good. All right. I just want to be sure. All right. So, what was Mandela's favorite dish?
What was his favorite dish?
Yes, his favorite dish.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go with something super South African. It was
Izemba.
I know it's not a good thing.
It was Nando's.
Mandela's favorite dish was actually tripe, the stomach lining of animals.
Tripe.
Wow.
Really? Called it shaki. Yes, in Nigeria.
Shaki.
I actually had a big giggle when I read that one. Okay, Mary, you're next.
Oh, yes, I am. Okay, I'm going to go with number 14. Did someone take that yet?
No, number 14. Okay, wow. Besides politics, Mandela's other passion was which sport?
Hold on. I think it was rugby. Because I remember that movie that Matt Damon did.
Ding! No!
Wait, hold on.
The answer was boxing.
It wasn't rugby?
No, it was boxing. Mandela said he liked not the violence of boxing, but the science of, you know, avoiding your attacker and things like that.
I see.
Okay, so Mary was leading with 1 point before. Uzo, you have a chance to tie with Mary. What question do you want?
Number 13.
Oh my God. Okay. Remember, you have 0 points, so you have to choose. When Mandela was eluding authorities during his fight against apartheid, he disguised himself in various ways. The press nicknamed him the blank because of his police evasion tactics.
Ninja.
Wait, they nicknamed him
the
squirrel.
The what?
The squirrel.
No, and I never heard this before I read this, that he was nicknamed the Black Pimpernel.
The Black what? That was hard.
Yes, but he,
the Black what?
Apparently he's in his book, the Black Pimpernel. He wrote that in his book, apparently, and I did not, I can't even remember. Well, as it stands right now, Mary is leading. She's repping New York really good.
Imani,
you have
is
to...
Is it too late to change my name?
Yeah, I need to step it up.
We are the... Wait, okay, so, is it my turn or somebody else's?
It's Imani's turn, and you, Imani, you know, you're representing Washington, D.C. This is my town, so you need to make this happen, okay?
Yeah, I agree, I agree. I'm going to go with number one.
Number one, okay. Nelson Mandela was born in a village called Mtata. True or false?
Nelson Mandela was born in a village called Mtata. I'm going to say false.
Yay!
Yeah, he was born in Vezo or something?
He was born in Zezo, yes, Vezo. And it's near Mtata. Now we're tying, Washington, D.C. is tying with New York.
Oh,
okay,
boy.
Okay, Mary, are you going to take the lead or no? What number do you want?
I am going to go with number six.
Number six. Mandela completed his bachelor's through the University of South Africa, UNISA, in 1942. True or false?
I'm going to say, okay, so I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Mandela completed his bachelor's through the University of South Africa, UNISA, in 1942. True or false?
I'm going to say false, because didn't he go to, like, London or something to study or another school?
No, it's true.
Oh. Oh, man, I'm behind now. I'm behind now.
You know, well, you're still tying. Let's see what Uzo does. Uzo, Atlanta is my hometown. You know, I went to Emory.
Am I the only one who's cheating with, like, Google.com?
That's why you all have only 10 seconds, so that nobody's cheating. Okay, Uzo, what question are you taking?
Number 10 taken.
Number 10 is not taken. True or false? Mandela appeared in Spike Lee's 1992 film Malcolm X. True or false?
In Spike Lee's 1992.
True or false? You have 2 seconds.
True,
more.
True.
True, and that's because you found it in Google. True.
Are you serious? You know, I didn't know that. I was going to say false. Yeah, wow, that's amazing. He did?
You can't be there and be here at the same time. Who told you what's going on here?
You know what? I have eyes behind me. At the very end of the movie, Mary, he plays a teacher reciting Malcolm X's famous speech to him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So I'm going to be timing you guys now because I know you're all cheating.
You know, I'm not even going to claim that because I'm losing right now. So if I was cheating, I'm not cheating very well.
I know, but by the time you read all the things, you know, your eyes can't move fast enough.
The time is up. Okay, now, so obviously, you know, Imani is from South Africa. She lives in D.C. And she's also a fellow member of the Diaspora African Women Network. So I want her to win. So you know that, right? So, Imani.
Exciting.
Thank you. No pressure.
So, what question are you choosing?
I'm going to go with number two.
Number two is taken.
Oh, okay. Number three.
Number three. Good. So, I think you should be able to get this question. So, Rohilala Mandela was given the name Nelson by his nanny when his father died. True or false?
No, that's false.
Oh, DC is in the lead, ladies. ladies and gentlemen.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
2 points. So now
pressure.
Mary.
Yeah.
Let's see whether you can lead or no.
Okay.
What number? We have number 5, number 8, number 9, number 11, number 12, and number 16.
Let's do number 12.
Number 12. Good. That's a very easy question, actually. Well, maybe not. On which birthday did Mandela marry former Mozambique First Lady? On which of his birthday did he marry former Mozambique First Lady? Time is running out. You have 5 seconds.
Okay, hold on. I know he got married and there was a show or something, like a program, like 95. Was it 90? Gail, wait, no, 80.
No, Gail, 80. No, you said 95 first. It's wrong. It's 80.
No, no, 80. No, because I remember, you know, they had like this, they had a TV program during the marriage. I don't think she even knew she was going to be married on that day.
Yeah, you got it right at the end, but you know, because you said 95 at first, he was 80.
Do Niger style now. Make it work.
No, Niger style, especially since you will have caught up with my, you know, my DC person. Okay, let's see. Everybody will still have one more round. Uzo.
Okay.
What question? Hello? Yes, Uzo. Uh-huh. What question? We have number 5, number 8, number 9. Number 11 and number 16, 17, 18.
Number 8.
True or false? Mandela joined the ANC in 1943. 5 seconds more.
Mandela joined the ANC in 1943, yes.
True, correct. Yay!
Yay!
Now it's getting hot. It's getting hot. I'm going to give you guys
five seconds. Oh, boy.
Another question. So now we're going to go back to Imani. We have question 5, question 9, question 16, 17, 18.
I'll go with number 5.
Number 5. Shortly after his return to the royal homestead, he and his cousin Justice ran away to Johannesburg to avoid arranged marriages for a short period. He worked as a mine policeman. True or false?
Oh my goodness.
Start. Time.
False.
It's true. Ah. Oh, it's true. I actually didn't believe
really?
That. I was like, wow. Okay.
Learning something new every day. I like it.
I know. All right, Mary, what question do you want?
Is number eight been...
Number 9 is the only one left in the true or false. And then we have
number... okay.
Yeah.
Number 11. Okay, number 9.
Number 9. Okay. Mandela's birth name, Rohilala, means peaceful person or the root of a tree. True or false?
Oh, root of a tree.
Mm. True or false?
True. No, yeah, false. Root. You said root of a tree, Abby.
False. Mandela's birth name, Rohilala, in his tribe means pulling the branch of a tree or troublemaker. So he actually lived true to his name. Yeah.
I know. You have to be careful names you give your kids.
I'm telling you. So if you're listening right now, be careful what name you give your kids, because once they named him Rohilala, he had to, you know, Rohilala, he had to live true to that name. Uzo, let's go with you. Number 11, number 16, number 17, 18.
17.
Number 17. Uzo, Mandela was on the U.S. terror watch list until which year and what age? Start.
The Bush time.
He was there 19... Is that 1989 or 1990?
George Bush now.
3 seconds left. Damn!
Sorry?
Damn! And because the rest of you have had a chance to Google it, I'm not going to give you a chance.
No, I didn't Google this one. No, I read it on Twitter.
Yes, it's true. And also, when I was lamenting on my page, this was one of the things I said. He was on the U.S. terror list until 2008 at the age of 89.
Yeah, there is George Bush and Co.
Yes.
So, yeah. Which Bush? Senior Bush or Junior Bush?
No, junior. The most recent Bush, the junior one.
Who was at the funeral, all of them crying when they bereaved, and he was there all through his presidency.
When are they bereaved?
Okay, so now we have the final round. Fun. We have the final round. I'm telling you, I'm having so much fun. I have to do this again on the show. Now,
next time I'm changing my name. Let's go. I think I'm doing Karen last now.
No, we have number 11, number 16, and number 18 left. Imani, which one do you want?
Number 18.
Number 18. Which William Ernest Henley's poem did Mandela use to read to his fellow prisoners?
Repeat that again. Which
William Ernest Henley's poem did Mandela use to read to his fellow prisoners?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
The hint is that there's a movie. There's a movie going.
Invictus.
Invictus! Yay!
Okay.
No. So now, note. Imani has 3 points. Uzo, you have a chance to catch up. Now, Mary.
Don't mean me. I don't have chance, Abby. That one is not good, though.
Number 11 and number 9.
Who am I next?
Yes, number 11.
Okay, let me do 11.
Number 11. The Physics Institute at Leeds University named a blank the Mandela particle.
True or false?
No. They named something the Mandela particle. What was that?
Mandela particle.
Okay, hold on. I'm waiting for the internet. It's so slow.
Uso, this is your chance to steal one point for Mary. Do you know what it is? No?
The Mandela particle. No? Hold on. I think it has to do with... I'm thinking. I'm sorry. Hold on.
No. Go on. 10 seconds. Go on. Uso, your chance.
I'm thinking. This is internet. It's so slow.
Go on. This is the end. No. Uso, final question is for you. Who gave Mandela the name Nelson?
Wait. Cool down. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Who gave Mandela the name Nelson? Who gave him the name Nelson?
It was the teachers in his school.
Which school?
But when he left his home now, the teachers.
Which school?
When he went to Christian school, Abby.
Uzo,
hold on. By now, when he went to school, right?
But I'm just going to give you half a point because it was in the elementary school. You know? Thank you so much.
I didn't know that. That's a good to know, actually. Yeah. And wait, hold on. What is the Mandela particle? Actually, it really didn't come up for me. What was the answer to the Mandela particle?
It didn't come up.
I'm looking for it now. This internet is so slow. I'm not serious. I'm in Nigeria again.
The Mandela particle. A nuclear particle. That's true. The Leeds University in the UK actually named the nuclear particle after Nelson Mandela.
Oh, wow. That was good to know.
Yeah, but honestly, I want to thank you all for playing. This has been so much fun. And I think I'm going to try and do this again for, you know, other shows about Africa to test our knowledge of Africa. I hope you've learned something. I hope you've had fun. I've definitely had a good time on the show today. But before I go, I understand I have a caller. Is Ruka still on the call? Ruka?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You have a question. I have 2 minutes to close.
I have a question for you. And it's a quiz question.
Uh-oh.
What is the correct pronunciation of Mandela's middle name? You have said it repeatedly, but apparently you are not pronouncing it correctly.
Uh-oh.
You are pronouncing it like an American. And not
that one, a dumb question.
Here we go. Oh, yeah, over to you.
I want to hear the pronunciation.
Going.
So it's not, if I pronounce it Roli Lala, it's American. How is it pronounced in the African way,
please? It's pronounced Holy Schleshley.
Oh, wow. Imani, is that true?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't speak Kosa.
CNN, guys. CNN. And the memorial, okay?
Oh,
we do have funky names in Africa, don't we?
So,
So
that sounds like Chinese.
You sound guilty as those who say Iraq. It is pronounced Holishleshle. Yes.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Honestly, that is just interesting. But honestly, I have one more minute to go. Thank you so much, Ruka, for calling in with that particular tip. Thank you, Imani. Thank you, Uzo. Thank you, Mary. I've had a very fun time today. Please, you know, continue to listen to Impact Africa and continue to support us. And if you want to support, know how to get involved, go to impactafricaonline.com. Thank you very much. And until next week, please keep on impacting Africa. Good night.
Have a great
day. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you again for tuning in to Impact Africa. Please join Tope Fajingbesi again next Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a good week.